3, 2, 1.
This is the Liberty Hangout Podcast.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Liberty Hangout Podcast. My name is Justin, and I'm the founder of LibertyHangout.org. I'm joined tonight by my co-host and co-founder of the site, James Chalemi. We hope you all had a very happy Easter, and tonight we are joined by one of our followers. His name is Rollo McFlugel. Now, Rollo, since this is your first time on the show, you want to introduce yourself tonight?
Sure. Thanks for having me. My name is Rollo McFlugel. A friend of mine and I have a blog we've been doing for a few years called McFlugel.com, where we started out as just trying to do something, try to get people into the movement, kind of gradually into there, and then it just kind of went to talking about whatever we wanted in terms of volunteerism and economic ethics, all that good stuff.
Now, Rollo, can you tell us a little bit more about your background and what brings you on the show today?
Sure. Background as far as...
As far as what your political ideology is, where you stand in the 2016 election, and what you plan on debating with us today.
Sure. I'm an anarchist, anarcho-capitalist, voluntarist, whatever you want to call it. As far as the elections go, I'm one of the non-voting anarchists. I don't necessarily think that, you know, it's wrong to vote defensively. As long as you kind of understand what the system is and that it's not working in your favor, it's kind of like, you know, the whole, if someone's going to offer me the choice between slapping me or punching me in the face, yeah, I'm going to say slap me. So we can
get out of the way that we don't have any discord there, that voting can be moral.
Right, right. Yeah, and as far as the slap in the face versus the punch, it's, because I was talking to someone yesterday about it, about Donald Trump, and he's like, well, we're voting for the lesser of two evils. And it's like, is he the, you know, can you really distinguish there between the slap and the punch between Hillary and Donald? That's what it turns out to be. So while I'm here on the podcast tonight, and I appreciate you guys letting me be on this, talk about this.
No problem.
Is you guys were advertising that you said, I'm going to support Austin Peterson for president. You guys kind of caught a lot of flack from that from people, more along the lines of whether or not you should vote. But I just really don't understand why, out of all the people up there, not necessarily that there are many that good, why you would pick Austin Peterson, especially because, as far as I know, you guys are anarchists as well. Someone who's specifically said that he believes that anarcho-capitalists are stupid.
Well, where we'll start this conversation is I was one of the first people to really call it after Austin disconnected himself from anarcho-capitalists. I was one of the first people to call him out and offer to debate him on his show. We could never agree on a time or a topic, but we went back and forth on several Facebook threads. We went back and forth all over social media, actually.
Right. I even believe that when he actually came out first bashing anarcho-capitalism back in May of last year, believe it or not, I had the top comment on that thread when we were going back about the non-aggression principle.
Right. So we were staunchly against Austin Peterson for a long time. Then he began to clarify his views a little bit more specifically, and I think we came to an understanding that he makes a lot of good points that I didn't understand when he just came out and kind of ad hominem the entire anarcho-capitalist group. Now, I think in terms of voting for him in 2016, I think that having a chance to win the Libertarian Party nomination, he is definitely the most liberty-minded candidate out of the three, McAfee, Gary Johnson, and himself. And I also think that his understanding of minarchism and his understanding of anarcho-capitalism, where he disagrees with it, are something that there's a lot to be said for, because Gary Johnson couldn't even articulate what a right was the other day. He said that the non-aggression principle goes over his head.
Yeah, so, that was my video.
So we were knowing Gary Johnson, knowing that he's a career politician, knowing that he has an abominable record on certain stances, we believe that Austin is definitely the most viable liberty minarchist candidate that'll get us more towards confines of the Constitution type government. And he's a friend of the show, and we're going to support him 100%.
Right, okay. And I think to add on to that too, even we understand that Gary Johnson, you know, he never even identified as libertarian until 2012 in the election after he was knocked out of the GOP primary. And so here's a guy who's admittedly, he's gone on shows and he's admittedly never even read any libertarian literature, never read any Rothbard, never read any Mises or Hoppe or anything along the lines of that. And then we see some of his positions as well as positions of John McAfee. These guys are, I mean, people knock Austin for being against the non-aggression principle, but Austin wants to reduce government as small as possible and in all areas possible, whereas guys like McAfee and guys like Johnson, they see a large role for the federal government. In fact, Gary Johnson sees a role for the United Nations. So,
I think Justin is definitely somebody that is able to speak on this, having interviewed both McAfee and Austin and having talked with Johnson at CPAC. So I think I trust Justin's judgment. I know from what I've seen that there's
all 2 seconds of me getting a picture with Johnson.
But I mean, his record speaks for itself.
Don't get me wrong with Johnson. I was at Liberty Fest and one of his people came out. I was talking to some people outside. Like, can you go inside and sit down for the governor while he gives a speech? What? No.
Right.
But, a few points. First one, you mentioned only three of the libertarian candidates. And you also mentioned viable. So you're just saying you only picked those McAfee, Peterson, and Johnson because
Friday is the first libertarian national debate ever nationally televised, mm-hmm. and there are only three candidates in it.
Okay.
I think that's going to be huge, and I think if Gary Johnson's lawsuit succeeds, I think those are the only three that have a chance of getting in to debate Hillary or Donald.
Right, because I was going to bring up Daryl Perry. I only really know about him because I was at the Philadelphia Libertarian presidential debate, and he was actually, I went in there thinking, like, all right, well, I'm going to sit here and listen to, you know, libertarians talk.
Right.
I agreed with everything Daryl Perry said. He's obviously an anarchist then.
Right.
He's got no shot, and that's also part of the reason why I don't put much, because I agreed with Daryl Perry on everything and thought he articulated the ideas of liberty very well. He wasn't sitting there saying, well, I'm an anarchist. I listened to one of Jason Stapleton's podcasts about one of the past libertarian debates, and he was like right away, just like, oh, we can't have Perry's, you know, too far out there and everything. I didn't listen to that debate, but this one he seemed, you know, pretty reasonable, far out there by normal person's views. But
I think especially anarcho-capitalists are a hard group to pander to because most of them, as you know, will not vote. Second of all, now I think that Adam Kokesh has a better chance of being written in and winning the presidential election than Daryl Perry does this election.
Of course,
so.
Right.
And you make a good point there, because I think that the disconnect between someone like Perry and a Peterson is the ability to reach out and connect with people. You know, Daryl Perry, he barely has any presence on the internet whatsoever. Right. Whereas Austin Peterson, he runs a Libertarian Republic, which has hundreds of thousands of likes. He's out there. I mean, where is even Gary Johnson on the internet? It's Peterson who, when people follow him on Twitter, he's sending out messages saying, hey, I'm running for president, seeking the nomination for the Libertarian Party. If you'd like to, I can give you my phone number. We can chat later this afternoon.
And right. It's a truly grassroots movement, and that's something I like to see, and I think that's something in this technological age, in the age of the internet, I think that this is what's going to lead to the overthrowing of the two-party dictatorship more so than anything else.
All right, so that's where I think that we can draw a lot of parallels with Austin Peterson's presidential campaign to that of Ron Paul. You know, we do see a practical side that he does have the ability to win and win now, and we also at the same time see this as the possibility to educate the masses. You know, as soon as Marco Rubio dropped out of the election, we saw dozens and dozens of people looking at Austin Peterson because he has something to offer that the other libertarian candidates don't, in that he's pro-life. So that common ground there is somewhere that he can reach out to the conservatives and draw them into the libertarian movement.
Did we lose him?
His face looks frozen there. And he's back.
Sorry, my computer just shut off, so I'm on my phone now.
No problem. Did you catch what I said there about Peterson?
What was the end of what you said?
All right, just to reiterate, I was kind of comparing it to the Ron Paul presidential campaign in that it's an education process too. So We see that when Marco Rubio dropped out of the election, a lot of Rubio supporters were coming to Peterson's side because they have the common ground in that they're both pro-life. And so right there, he's able to draw a lot of people into the libertarian movement. And I think that's huge.
And I know from personal experience and being from New York, a lot of my friends are Bernie Sanders supporters. And just knowing from speaking with them, seeing how Hillary Clinton is going to most likely be the Democratic nod, a lot of them are now looking for a third party to go to, and there really are only three parties on the all 50 state ballots. So looking towards the Libertarian Party is definitely something that a lot of Democrats are also going to be interested in.
Right. So just to clarify, is your goal here is not to win the election, or at least obviously your goal is to win the election but you don't expect to have. What are your thoughts about the chances of the Libertarian, whoever it may be, of winning the election?
Justin and I both can speak from personal experience that a minarchist or a small government conservative or a libertarian, a big L libertarian, they can lead people to start, you know, questioning reality, questioning what the monitored reality is from the mainstream media, what it is from both parties. So that will lead you on the spiral, what I call the spiral of liberty. I mean, reading Judge Napolitano led me to Ron Paul, which led me to Rothbard, which led me to Tom Woods. And, I mean, we all know how it starts. Not everybody is born an anarchist. So the fact that Austin could get on the national stage and espouse classical liberal views is something that we're definitely interested in seeing. Somebody that understands it from the ground up, as he does, even if he disagrees with some of the things we agree with.
Right.
Go for it.
I mean, I'm not sure he does understand it from the ground up. Don't get me wrong, he doesn't have to be no candidate for the Libertarian Party for me to say, like, oh, it wouldn't be bad. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Right.
But he does have some fundamental ideas he just doesn't get. And you did say he's clarified some, and if he has recently, you know, but is going back to, like, at that article he wrote, The Five Reasons I'm Not an Anarchist.
Right.
And I wrote a rebuttal to it, and he actually, had a conversation with me on Facebook about it, where he just kind of didn't really answer anything. And then we was on the Tom Woods show, just saying some weird things. And you know, because Ron Paul, you know, he's a minarchist, and pretty much everyone who identifies as a libertarian supports Ron Paul. So Ron Paul never, when he talked about anarchy, he always kind of shied away from it, because I think he understood that he didn't want to alienate anybody on right. either side.
Right. See, Austin doesn't care about that, because what you have to understand is,
right.
especially even after coming out of support of Austin, the amount of flack we've gotten from people who are basement-dwelling pseudo-intellectuals that don't even understand anarcho-capitalism, that are just trying to resist the state, and then when you ask them specific questions about, okay, well, how would a dispute resolution organization work, or how would something like this work, and they can't come up with an answer for you, you see how there are a lot of wonks that are more so interested in being right and espousing a belief in which they do not understand. So what we're trying to do... keep going.
Sorry. Austin Peterson can't say why dispute resolution organization work either.
Right, exactly. And my point is that a lot of anarcho-capitalism is theory. And so keeping that in mind, you have to realize that if government ended tomorrow, the NAP wouldn't reign supreme.
Oh, I know. If government ended tomorrow, we'd have the same exact government spring up the next day.
Well, not necessarily. My point is that Austin disagrees with the non-aggression principle insofar as it shouldn't be the golden calf of libertarianism. Where
I agree.
And there's so many people that worship it like it should be, and that's my only point.
Right, but he's going beyond that. I mean, he's conflating it with the social contract theory, though. Or is one reason why he says that, you know, why he's not an anarchist is because, you know, I didn't
sign the NAP.
Yeah, and it's like that has nothing. That's like the people that say I didn't ever agree to capitalism. It's like, well, that's kind of just a natural state of being.
You know, I agree with you 100% there, and that's something that even myself and Austin are always going to disagree on. But I think the bigger picture is that all these people out there, these 320 million Americans, they're not going to. If they knew a thing about the non-aggression principle, we wouldn't even need to be standing here today talking about an election. This isn't something that resonates with the American population. So I think the best way to reach out to them is through the election process and through figures like Judge Napolitano, who Judge Napolitano, he wouldn't have even happened if it were for Austin. Austin was his producer while at the Fox Business Network. So in some way, you know, Austin's already played a large part in bringing people to libertarianism, and today with the election, he's bringing even more, and I think that's huge. And then from there, once you draw people into the movement, now we have all these conservatives that were Rubio supporters. They feel lost. You know, they don't want to vote for Trump. So now they're going to look into Austin Peterson, and you know what I did when I first became a libertarian? I started reading. And from there, that's when I got into the Rothbards and I got into the Mises and I started looking at the non-aggression principle. So that's why James and I, James wrote an article saying 5 reasons why libertarian anarchists should vote for Austin Peterson. And he made the point in there in that no one comes to anarcho-capitalism through a Rothbard. You know, they first come through a Napolitano or a Ron Paul. So we think that Austin Peterson, you know, he's not the end goal, but he's a stepping stone in the right direction.
Oh, I understand that. So another, like, so he's, I get the point where you say he's a stepping stone, but he's still very, he's very divisive within the libertarian movement. And he's not well liked by a lot of people. And one of the things that I think why Ron Paul was so good at bringing people to the movement was because you can't find a bad thing to say about him personally. Like, he's just a fantastic person by literally every person I've ever heard talk about. Austin Peterson, on the other hand, he comes off as a smug jerk. I thought it reinforced it when I had a little Facebook conversation with him. I don't know. I'm not trying to like assassinate his character.
Smug jerk is more an ad hominem than it is an actual argument, though. You know what I mean? I mean, we should be focusing more so on his beliefs than on his, you know, the content of his character.
But right, we're talking about the character matters, though, because that's, like I said, it was one of, if Ron Paul was a jerk or was an unlikable person, there's no way he would have been as popular as he is.
We're also not looking for a demagogue that's going to, you know, a benevolent dictator that's going to rule over us with grace. We're looking for somebody that's trying to get in and get the government back to what it was intended in 1787.
Right, you're trying to attract people to the movement. When you've got a guy that's largely considered unlikable by the movement he's coming from, how do you expect people?
Well, because I think he's challenged the establishment. I think my only answer could be, and I can't speak for Austin personally, but I can see the trends. I think he's definitely challenged the establishment, the Gary Johnson, you know, ball cradlers, and also he's challenged, you know, anarcho-capitalists, I should say, that call them that worship the non-aggression principle. And these are two sets of people that ultimately are easily offended and are worshiping something that I think he's calling something he's bringing huge emphasis to, which I right. would, which I like to see.
And I mentioned this to James before we went on the show. What do you refer to him as? Smug what?
I think it's smug jerk.
Smug jerk, yeah. I was saying, James, before the show that, you know, he only really comes off for the most part as a smug jerk towards the anarcho-capitalist, and maybe that's because our philosophy is much more ground than a minarchist philosophy, but from what I've witnessed, you know, he doesn't have this same sort of attitude towards conservatives or even liberals.
You know, it's funny, Justin, people will call Austin a smug jerk while they'll, in the same breath, praise Thomas Jefferson and while Thomas Jefferson was impregnating his slaves. So if we're talking about the content of people's character, I think it's important
While you bring up Jefferson, I think that's a really good point. If we look back to the election of, I forget which one it was. It was when Jefferson was facing off against Adams. Look at the lines that were thrown back and forth between Adams and Jefferson. They were vicious with one another.
Right. Well, while Murray Rothbard himself said that, you know, letting your children starve doesn't violate the non-aggression principle. So I think it's important to keep in mind that it's people's records, I think, that matters more so than, especially when we're talking about government and putting them in place of other people. It shouldn't be their character that we're, you know, should be the ultimate thing we're looking at. It should be more so their record, what they've espoused, what they spent their life fighting for.
Right, and that wasn't the reason why I dislike Austin Peterson was the way he acts. It's because he, you know, that 5 reasons the modern anarchist article was garbage. Like, everything he's like his you know, rights are down. That's my problem with him. He just doesn't he doesn't understand a lot of these fundamentals. Like, what is a right to him? Well, right is a guarantee because Judge Napolitano told him. Like, it's such a bad definition, and it's not complete either. And then he's, you know, he's got his art. He says that you have a right to have a lawyer.
Right. Well, he was distinguishing between natural rights and civil rights in society when you have government. And I this is something I've argued with him personally about. Right. So I understand what you're saying.
Right. So I guess that's part of my thing too. Is if you're going to have someone kind of be bringing people to your movement, don't you want him to kind of to have that ideology? It doesn't have to be an anarchist, don't get me wrong, but to not be like very open about saying that the things are just flat out wrong.
Well, here's where I think you're going a little bit off track, because I think when we turn on Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump in a few weeks and we're watching them go back and forth, nobody's going to be talking about, well, what is a right? Nobody's going to be talking about, well, the origins of government. Nobody's going to be talking about the philosophical underpinnings of society. They're going to be debating how much should we tax people? Should we have abortion? Where should the military bomb next? And I think these are things where Austin really hits the main keys. And this is something where he could, just like Rand Paul did. I mean, there were libertarians, anarcho-capitalists, that were supporting Rand Paul. If you support Rand Paul, why wouldn't you support Austin Peterson? That's my only question. So, this is just another step for people like us.
Well, I mean, Austin Peterson comes up, says he doesn't want an income tax.
Right.
So do you think when Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump are arguing about the tax rate and he comes along and says, well, we should have no tax?
I think when he explains it in the lens of a limited government, libertarian, conservative, Austrian economist, Chicago economist, whatever you want to do, because it's all going to come out the same. It's going to be in the same breath of the founders, in which they envisioned the tax system and how we were able to fund so many things before the income tax came along, and we were so much more out of debt than we are now.
I think that's a good point, too, because when you see Austin speaking, he's speaking more from a constitutional standpoint, which is something that made Ron Paul so great and drew a lot of people into libertarianism. You know, for me, I never knew what real philosophical libertarianism was until I came across Adam Kokesh. You know, I was always under the impression that libertarianism was just constitutionalism.
Right.
So I think as long as he's out there preaching the Constitution, I think that'll play a huge role. And even when he's talking about the income tax there, granted the income tax may be a constitutional amendment, but it's a constitutional amendment that is itself unconstitutional, because the only way that the Congress is supposed to be able to collect taxes is through the states. You know, the federal government is not supposed to have any direct mechanism to tax the citizens.
And can we agree that taxation in itself has degrees of how violent it can be?
Can we just say taxation is theft? I know that's been trending
right.
The past week.
Taxation is definitely theft, but I think a lottery tax is a lot less violent than an income tax.
Right.
Right. I mean,
I think even there, I've said this before. I remember on Austin's first post when he came out with the article, Five Reasons I'm Not an Anarchist, I remember I was commenting back and forth, and he was saying how he wants to make taxation voluntary, and his biggest way is to have a lottery tax. And I said to him, like, Austin, you're a voluntarist, and you don't even know it. you see, there are ways that we can act civilly and voluntarily.
Well, yeah, and that's why I don't understand half of what when he says he doesn't like the non-aggression principle. And I watched the debate from Oregon the other night, and he's, asked the question about the non-aggression principle and the Constitution. He said, like, well, don't hurt people and don't steal their stuff. It's like, yeah, that's – you say you don't agree with the non-aggression principle, but you just said it.
He's clarified 100 times. He was on the Lions of Liberty podcast. He was on with Adam Kokesh. He's clarified that he says that the non-aggression principle is a great idea in theory, and it should be something taught to, everybody's children and everything like that. When basing it as the premier facet of society and saying that this is what society should be based around, you're leaving out a bunch of things. And I agree with him on this.
I understand. I agree. Like, yeah. I don't treat it as axiomatic. And I don't think most anarcho-capitalists treat it as axiomatic.
Right,
I
mean, right.
And I know, because I was re-listening to the Tom Woods podcast where he had him on talking about this article, and I know Tom Woods, I don't think, treats it axiomatically, and he was, never going at it.
Right.
So I know you keep saying, I know there are people that, treat it as, like, one of the commandment of libertarianism, that no matter what, it's a non-aggression principle. But
right.
That's not the argument. It's a straw man to say that, well, anarcho-capitalists, that's their holy grail is the non-aggression principle. It's just not the case.
Okay, so what should be the underlying tenet of libertarianism?
I like Michael Humer's argument. He said the people are have the prima facie right to be freed from harmful coercion. So it's pretty much like the non-aggression principle, but it leaves some wiggle room for those like lifeboat scenarios.
Right. And you know, see, this is the problem I have with having an axiomatic principle that underlines all of libertarianism. I think that getting rid of government is our first step. And this is where I think somebody like, you know, a consequentialist libertarian like a David Friedman, where I tend to find myself agreeing with him more so than a lot of moral libertarians like a Walter Block, who even came out in support of Trump. But just with the consequentialist argument, getting rid of government's the first step. Okay, so tomorrow we have no government. Now we're looking for dispute resolution organizations, probably in collaboration with police forces. And that's going to be basically the law in society. Now, there may be many different ones, but just like an Apple or a Samsung, I think, you know, the best quality is going to breed the best company, and that's going to be one of the biggest, just like anything else when it comes to a grand scale. It's because it's the best company. So what that DRO decides is going to be the law in society. So if the DRO decides that we're going to not let people, you know, strangle puppies on their front lawn, that's the law. That violates the non-aggression principle. So this is where I have a problem with the non-aggression principle as the main tenet, because stuff like that, I mean, letting your children starve doesn't violate the non-aggression principle. I mean, these are certain things.
I never said it was axiomatic.
Right, exactly. And that's
you're preaching the choir.
Right, so I'm just trying to, because I don't really know where you're coming from on this one, so I'm just trying to clarify. And yeah, so that's where I see this.
So, you know, we've gone through, and believe me, I am not a Gary Johnson supporter by any means. I was the one that happened to put my camera up and record him when he sounded like he was having a stroke trying to talk about
right.
Marshals, you know, going after and going after people defending him for that. But why don't you think that Gary Johnson could be a better person to get people to libertarianism? I don't even think that we've got a good chance of getting a libertarian candidate on the debate.
Right.
With the other two candidates. So why Gary Johnson, who's, because people are going to look at Austin Peterson, not know who he is. He's saying this, you know, this weird stuff, kind of libertarian kind of thing. And he's not going to get the credibility as at least, you know, Johnson's coming from, you know, I ran for office and everything. Oh, I got to get my charge for a second. So I'm gonna
be walking Justin, around. do you want to take this one or?
Yeah, no,
back and forth.
I can just kind of start off here in that I don't think that Johnson is a esteemed steward for liberty, not even libertarianism, let alone liberty. When we just look at his track record and look at some of the things that he supports, you know, I think that if you were to ask Gary Johnson what is libertarianism, I honestly don't even know if he can answer the question. Whereas if you're going to ask Austin Peterson, he's going to revert to his presidential slogan, the right to be left alone by government. You know, I Gary Johnson, while he may be someone who took the non-aggression principle pledge, he's not someone who has any more of an understanding of NAP than any other candidates in the running. And he grants more legitimacy to the state than Peterson tenfold.
And I usually do find myself agreeing with Walter Block. However, this election cycle, I could not agree with the Donald Trump prediction or advocation. So while I'm going to say what I'm going to say in a second, but what I will say is if Gary Johnson does beat Austin Peterson, I will support him as the lesser of three evils candidate. That being said, I think in the Oregon debate when he argued against freedom of religion and freedom of property rights, when he was saying that government should enforce anti-discrimination laws, I thought that was something that just, you know, eats away at the philosophy of liberty. When he advocated, and I mean, I've said this
even in one of the debates, he came out saying that we should have some gun control measures too.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, he was actually for strict background checks for a while.
Yeah.
As long as he's been in government. He's also, I mean, Justin and I both know this, he's advocated military strikes against Kony 2012, which was a slacktivist, you know, hack film, which was found out to be nothing more than really a scam. So that, you know, juxtaposed against the fact that he couldn't define a right, said the non-aggression principle goes over his head. He's been a career politician who really hasn't gotten much done. And he's just, in my opinion, a limited government conservative that just likes to smoke weed. I just don't see myself advocating for him the same way I could advocate for, and this is going to sound crazy, but the Thomas Jefferson of our generation, I think, in terms of having the same constitutional understanding and platform to advocate for, I think that Austin is really filling that role.
I know too, just to add on here, I know a lot of libertarians, anarcho-capitalists in particular, we will say that, you know what, you may get a small government guy running for office, but when they get in, they're going to become part of the system and they're going to become easily corruptible. Johnson's already proven to be corruptible because he's a political opportunist. We see evidence by the Coney 2012.
Right. And that, I mean, you don't have to worry about the libertarian candidate winning. That's the one guy.
All right, so then our whole conversation is moot at this point. So anyway, we would, yeah, our I think our whole position is that Austin is the best to choose from right now. The man has really devoted his life to classical liberalism, to, you know, having more people leave the two-party system, come more towards our side. And once we know that people come towards more towards our side, you know, it is a spiral, you know, and it can get out of control quickly, and you become an anarchist like that.
Yeah, and I, when I was at CPAC a couple of weeks ago, I was interviewed by Reason Magazine, and they were asking me, who am I supporting? I said, Austin Peterson. And what I said is, you know, Donald Trump may be anti-establishment, but Donald Trump is not pro-liberty. I support Austin Peterson because he is both pro-liberty and anti-establishment. And I think that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm nitpicking. Pro-liberty to an extent, and I know I keep, like, I don't think he understands just the way he's talking about, like, you know, doesn't, based on his comments to Tom Woods and his article, he doesn't understand the non-aggression principle. And I'm not saying you have to, you know, worship it, but at least if you're going to criticize it, understand it. I mean, he says he wants a sales tax. He's in favor of eminent domain.
Constitutional eminent domain, just to clarify.
Yeah, it is allowed by the Constitution, so he does support that.
Right. Now, still,
we're not advocating that Austin Peterson is an anarcho-capitalist and he's going to be the savior of our movement. What we're advocating for is he is the less of all the evils that has a viable chance of winning the most converts towards our side.
And I think that anyone who can get into office and successfully reduce the size and scope of government can be our friend. And then once we do get to that minarchy, you know, then we can make him into our enemy. But until we get to that point, we have way more common ground with him.
Exactly.
So, go ahead.
No, you go for it.
Right, so, again, with just asking about Gary Johnson, I don't get me wrong, I completely agree everything you said negative about him. But as far as the transition, I don't understand why, if you're going to go down that path, knowing that, you know, or at least being 99.9% sure that he's not going to win the presidency, how he wouldn't be an easier pill to swallow than Austin Peterson, if you're not concerned about, you know, being really ideologically pure.
Well, I mean, what do you mean by ideologically pure? Because, I mean, we basically just laid out where he is the most more anti-libertarian candidate than Austin. I mean, is there somewhere besides the non-aggression principle and the five reasons why he's not an anarchist, is there something that you see that is, I mean, less constitutional than Gary Johnson, or, you know, less in the mind of, you know, 1799 or 1787?
Well, I guess my point is, you don't need a strict constitutionalist at this point if you're just trying to, like,
get people into the movement, you're saying?
Get people into the movement. I'm saying that Gary Johnson is an easier, if that's your goal, Gary Johnson is a much easier pill to swallow than Austin Peterson.
Why do you say that? Because there's not as much known about him?
That's
not as heavy on Facebook arguing on Threads?
Yeah, that's part of it. It's
Gary. Well, I think the big part, and we touched on this early, where is Gary Johnson going and talking to people, you know?
Right, and that's right. It's part of his problem, but
the only way that people will be converted to our ideology through Gary Johnson is just by seeing his name on the ballot, whereas Austin Peterson is out here talking to people, winning hearts and minds every single day.
Yeah, and I think, and especially in interviewing him several times, or talking with him several times at length, I mean, speaking as somebody who the American Revolution is something that really got me interested in libertarianism, and that led me to anarcho-capitalism, but, I mean, knowing what he knows, I mean, the man is well-read. He understands what he's arguing. Now, he might not agree with anarcho-capitalism, but that's something we can talk about when we have a minarchist government. And even Tom Woods understands that, Kevin Gutzman too, who we've had on the show, understand that if we have a minarchist government, if we had what was envisioned either by, you know, the anti-federalists or by some combination of the federalists and anti-federalists, we wouldn't even be here. There would have been no such thing as a Rothbard. We'd all be happy as a clam living in a minarchist society.
No doubt.
So, that's just what we're trying to push for, getting more towards, you know, constitutional government. And I wouldn't even go so far as to say that they have a 99% chance of losing, when I think, and this is purely my opinion, and I think it can be backed up by fact to an extent, that this is going to be the presidential election in the past 50 years that is going to have the most third-party votes in it, especially if Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton get the nominations. There are going to be a lot of Democrats looking to vote for third party and a lot of Republicans. So I think that's something to be excited.
And I think if it comes to that point, Austin has the best chance of getting votes because, you know what, he's the most consistent of the top three candidates for the Libertarian Party.
And he's the best debater.
Right.
We've staked our claim.
I guess it's just, it comes down to a disagreement on how to get to the path.
What would be your main way to get there?
Just being a good advocate. If you do have someone that comes through and is principled and is running for, you know, the candidacy, yeah, go for it. But I think it's more in terms of voting, especially since if Adam Kokesh actually does run for his party of the
PCP. That'll be the best presidential campaign in U.S. history.
And I'll use voting as, it's not so much, because your vote is statistically insignificant. It's
right.
Pretty much meaningless. So I take more value in saying that when someone asks, oh, who are you looking for voting for? Oh, nobody. And then explaining that and then saying like, oh, well, Gary Johnson or Austin Peterson or Daryl Perry. And they'll be like, well, I don't even know who that is or who's that. I don't care.
The way I see it, and this is what I've been saying over and over again, is just like you said at the beginning, and Walter Black's, you know, analogy of the slave master. And what I'm basically doing right now is voting for the least of the evils and planning my escape. It's just that, I mean, the political process, like Jeff Dice's talk about, is just a means, you know, just one of the very many tools that we have as anarcho-capitalists, and it's just to lessen the whips until right. We can make our escape.
I think to add on to that, too, and Raul, you made a really good point there about when people come up to you and ask who you're voting for, you find greater value in saying I'm voting for nobody and explaining why, and I think that's a really helpful tool. It's something that, I was supporting Rand Paul first, and then I disassociated with him after I was fed up with a couple of his more neoconservative positions. So for a while, I was in the non-voting crowd, and I would do the same thing that you're doing. I would explain why I'm not voting for anybody. But at the same time, you know, we have to – I'm a marketing major here in college, and you have to know your target market and your demographic and who you're reaching. And right now, they know no other means of affecting change than through the political system. So that's why, at least for me, when I was at CPAC and I was doing interviews with people and I was saying to them, how do you make change in this country? They couldn't answer any way other than the political process. So this is the only way they know, and so that's why, for me, I think it's much easier to just say, hey, there's this great candidate. His name is Austin Peterson. You're a conservative. You must love the Constitution. Hey, but here's a guy. He knows the Constitution down to a T. He's gonna bring home the troops. He wants to end the IRS, end the Federal Reserve, end the income tax. Man, you thought Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz were supporting the Constitution. Look at this guy.
And just to follow up on that, and Rallo, you've been such a good sport. I'm so glad you came on the show to talk about this, because this is a very important conversation that needs to be had. If one life, if one, you know, innocent Middle Eastern child can be saved by a vote for Austin Peterson over a vote for Donald Trump, or I'm going to do it just because I feel like I have the moral obligation to. So that's where I fall.
Okay. I mean, we bring up foreign policy, and just this last point, one of the reasons of Peterson makes my brain drip out of my ear a little bit. The Sony issue and the what was the movie? Seth Rogen and,
interview.
The interview.
Yeah, the interview. When it was suspected that, you know, North Korea was the hackers, and Austin Peterson gets on TV and is like, we should go assassinate Kim Jong Il. And it's like, and he said, well, we'll do it through libertarian means of free markets and volunteers and everything. But it's like,
well, it's the same way that Thomas Jefferson, you know, got rid of the Barbary Pirates was through letters of mark and reprisal, where you put it to the free market, hire mercenaries to get the job done. And I mean, would the world be a better place without Kim Jong-un? I mean, it's definitely possible. I'm not advocating for it, but
hey, you know that even ties into our own anarcho-capitalist principles in that if you're going to send the U.S. Army to go take out Kim Jong-un, you're going to go send the U.S. Army to go take out ISIS. Guess what? Now you're making a whole enemy out of the United States. Whereas I know Murray Rothbard wrote up on this extensively, is that when you have these private defense firms that they're going to go take care of the threat, well, hey, now they're only putting themselves in harm's way.
And also, my issue wasn't so much as it affected the security of the United States. It's like you didn't learn anything about the U.S. messing up everything in the Middle East, taking governments out and creating vacuums. It's like, you know, I've done the thought experiments and everything and the internal debates about whether or not it's morally permissible to assassinate any political leader. And to me, it was like, no, because they're just going to put the same person in.
Right. You know what? I can sympathize more with a guy that wants to go after Kim Jong-un than someone that wants to go after a fictional warlord in Somalia named Tony.
That many people have said he died in the early 90s.
Who died? Wait, what?
Joseph Kony?
Yeah, Joseph Kony.
Oh, sorry. I made a Johnson joke. I was... Okay. No, and that's you know, I don't want to get caught up in it. You know, there are levels of badness, and certainly if, you know, as much as I hate to say this, if Austin Peterson somehow became president, it would be obviously be better than, you know.
Right. That's why I remember when Austin first announced his campaign for president for the presidency. I remember I posted on James's wall, and this was back when we were in the Hate on Austin Peterson fan club. And so I remember I posted a screenshot to James's wall, and I don't even know if I captioned anything. And James commented on it, and he said he would be the best president in U.S. history. And I think that's what got me heavily thinking about it.
Yeah. Well. You could also probably say the same about Johnson, too.
He'd be
the
best. Exactly. We agree.
But while Austin's still in the race, I got to support him over Johnson any day of the week.
Yeah. Fair enough. And I'll just support none of them over.
Hey, God bless.
That's the thing. And the things I want to make sure, you know, that people understand from my point of view is, you know, we've all different ways of advancing the cause of liberty. You know, as long as you're not, like, doing that through supporting Hillary Clinton or something. Do your thing. I'll do my thing. You know, it's not going to happen one way or the other.
Right.
Even though, you know, Austin's still, like, I hate that it, because after that Five Reasons Not to Be an Anarchist, whatever it was called, I took the vow, I wrote the article, and I kind of took a vow of, I'm just never even going to mention his name again. Chris Cantwell treatment I was giving him. I'm just not even going to acknowledge him. And then this,
you know, that's why I love Austin.
I got to talk about him.
It's why I love Austin is because he's so capable of arousing emotion from people. And I love that. I can't wait to see him do it on Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens with Gary Johnson's, what's he doing?
The debate?
Yeah, to get it out. Get a libertarian.
April 1st, Fox Business. Everybody tune in.
Oh, yeah. That's the Libertarian Party.
Yep.
Right, but he also sued to try to get the LP into the general one, correct?
Right, yeah, that's what I was talking about. Yep. So, we'll see. I mean, if Austin can prove me wrong, he can prove me wrong. But he's just got to not be so vocal about
I can sympathize with your position 100%, but I think for any of the anarcho-capitalists that are listening here, you know, there's no reason to make an enemy out of your neighbor here for supporting someone like Austin or even supporting Johnson or McAfee, because you know what, we're all just taking our own steps forward, trying to do whatever it takes to get to an anarcho-capitalist society here.
My boy Eric July lays it out perfectly. We're the team that's in last place in the division because we can't decide who's going to get the ball. And we're all arguing with each other when we should be coming together as a team and trying to beat these monsters that are ahead of us.
I think the argument's good. I think we take ourselves too seriously sometimes. And, you know, when there's libertarian infighting, they say, oh, no, we're fighting against each other. We've got bigger things to fight about. And they're going to see us fighting. No one knows who we are. No one knows. So, you know, I think the infighting's good, the debate's good. You know,
being somebody that travels around to a lot of these, you know, conservative conferences and political conferences altogether, not many people identify as Republicans or conservatives anymore, especially in our generation. Most people will identify as libertarians, even if they support Marco Rubio. I mean, I was talking to people that were identifying as libertarian, and then they were cheering when Marco Rubio's name was mentioned. So I think the libertarian term is becoming sexier and sexier, and I think it's our job to clarify what a libertarian actually is and to get people more towards the no-government side as much as we can.
And you know what, the beauty of it, too, there with the libertarian supporting Rubio is that a lot of people, when it comes to politics, still support a candidate because they don't want to support another candidate. So we see a lot of constitutionalists and even some small government minarchists supporting people like a Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio. They're not supporting them because they're very liberty-minded candidates. They're supporting them because they're afraid of supporting Donald Trump. And so that's why we think that someone like Austin Peterson would be much more suited for them, much more consistent with their principles.
All right, so here's the deal. You guys get people to like Austin Peterson and tell them why everything they thought about libertarianism was wrong. And then once they go to Austin Peterson, they can come to me, and I'll tell them everything you thought about libertarianism is wrong.
Exactly. That's the steps. We all know how it goes. You start as a Democrat or conservative. You pick something up. You go, oh, what is this? And you start reading. All of a sudden, you're watching a video by Adam Kokesh, and it's like, whoa, that makes sense. And that leads you to, it's just a spiral of liberty, and it's a beautiful thing.
I think we all have to realize that, we're all in this fight together. I've been big the past few weeks. After I saw the protests in Chicago at that Donald Trump rally, and I was like, I was thinking to myself, you know what? We have more reason to be afraid of ourselves than we do Donald Trump. People are out here committing violence against other Americans over a political candidate. And so that's why in the past few weeks I've been big on unity, standing united as the United States of America. You know, if we want to conquer these monsters, we need to do it together.
Hey, and as an aside, a political candidate that really doesn't have as much power as you give him credit for.
Exactly,
Away anything from how scary any of the candidates would be as president, but like, so I tell people that are like so terrified of Trump, it's like, well, remember when people were like, the world would end as we know it if Obama got elected, and it's gotten worse, but it's not like this.
Yeah, you know, this is...
society is not crumbled. It's going to be the same with Trump. He's saying, because Donald Trump is like any other political candidate. He says what he's got to get be elected. He's just really over the top and politically incorrect about it. So it's the same. I mean, it's all going down the same path right now. You know, it's between Hillary, Trump, Bernie. It's just very fractions of degrees of change in the direction, in my opinion, at least.
I agree.
Agree 100% here.
All right, well, I think we're all in accord then. That was great. That was a great conversation.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Rallo. Anything else you guys want to add?
No, that's it. Just really appreciate you guys having me on. Had a lot of fun.
Problem. What's your website again so that our followers, once they come into Austin Peterson and learn libertarianism, so that they can check you out and learn anarcho-capitalism?
McFlugel.com, McFlugle. So just Google McFlugel.
Awesome. We'll put that. We'll put that in the.
On McFlugel. So.
And we'll make sure to include that in the video description. Thanks so much, Rallo. Make sure you guys check out McFlugel.com. And thank you guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Liberty Hangout podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the Liberty Hangout podcast on iTunes. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Like us on Facebook. Follow on Twitter at Liberty Hangout. And make sure to check out LibertyHangout.org to read some awesome liberty-minded material from a great lineup of writers. Thank you guys so much, and we will see you again next time.